tonight. Oh, I know it's not always easy, but when the winter comes, I will always believe in us. On the day
Once upon a time, you were 25, walking up the aisle. You made the promise of life. Blinked twice when you were 29, singing lullabies. And I looked up at you for the first time. Words fall short, and I am sure they'll never be anyone like you. You're strong like your father, even when you were scared. When I was in trouble, you never left me there. And you love like your mother, like there's nothing to lose. You're an unsung hero, so I'll sing this song for you. Woke up, I was 21, and I fell in love. Remember how I told you that I'd search the world and I found the girl. And oh, how she reminds me of you. You're strong like your father, even when you were scared. When I was in trouble, you never left me there. And you love like your mother, like there's nothing to lose. You're an unsung hero, so I'll sing this song for you.
Father, even when I'm scared, and when someone's in trouble, I'll never leave them there. And I love like my mother, like there's nothing to lose. You're my unsung hero, and I sing this song for you.
You've been waiting on me long enough. This is for the question marks. This is for the outcast, so lost control. No one knows. Sing it for the can't go back. Sing it for the broken past. Sing it for the just found out. Life is now upside down. If you're looking for hope tonight, raise your hand.
Good morning, church. It's good to see all of you. Welcome. If you can hear my voice, if you're out in the lobby, make your way in. I saw some people coming on in when I walked into the sanctuary. Grab your last cup of coffee, and it's kind of like a two-cup day, maybe, right? A little cold and rainy, but we praise God for some good sunshine yesterday. But thank the Lord that we have the great privilege of being here together. You know, we get to worship God freely at any moment, you know, wherever we may be during the day, at work, you're in your car, you're at home. You know, we can just thank God for His goodness and His grace in our lives. But we set aside this time at the beginning of a new week, as the early church did, meeting on a Sunday, because that's the day that we remember that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And that is the cornerstone of our faith, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we believe in a Savior who is no longer on the cross or in the grave, but He is alive. And because of that, which signifies the Father accepting Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf, then we can truly worship God with freedom. We can say, thank you, God, for life and new life in Him. So in a moment, I'm going to ask us to stand, and we're going to worship the Lord through song. We love to do that here at Trinity, to worship God through music. But we can also give our worship to God through the hearing and reading of His Word. So as I read to you from the Holy Scriptures, allow this to be your call into worship. Whatever your morning was like, we can just kind of lay that aside and just set our minds and our hearts before God, asking His blessing over us, and that we would be able to enter into His presence with thanksgiving and with humble hearts. So listen to these words from Psalm 90. This is the oldest of all the Psalms. It is the Psalm that is written by Moses. A selected reading from Psalm 90, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you, our God. You return man to dust and say, return, O children of man, for 1,000 years in your sight are but yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. And he concludes with these words. So, Lord, teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord. How long? Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have allowed affliction, and for as many years as we have seen affliction. Let your work be shown to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord, our God, be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Amen. The reading of the word of the Lord, may it bless our hearts this morning. Would you stand with me as we pray? Father God, thank you for the reminder that you are from everlasting to everlasting. You are the one true God, creator of heavens and earth. You have no beginning and no end. You are the Alpha and the Omega. Father, we offer up worship to you now in the name of your Son, Jesus, our Savior. We do so remembering his sacrifice and celebrating the empty tomb, celebrating new life. And God, may we worship you with joy in that celebration, for this time is for you. Have your way with us this morning, God, but we come before you now to offer ourselves in worship to you, the one true holy God, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. Let's worship the Lord together, church.
beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. He didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love.
Father God, we thank you. All praise belongs to you. All praise to the Heavenly Father, to the Holy Spirit, to Jesus Christ, the Son. It's in His powerful and wonderful and matchless name that we worship you, Father. We praise you, God. Have your way with us. Thank you for an awesome time of worship through song. May you continue to be glorified and honored. In Jesus' name, amen. Say good morning to somebody next to you. If we can make our way back to our seats. Praise the Lord. I'm on? Yeah, good. All right. Let's make our way back to our seats.
Today is a beautiful day of celebration, a day to honor the women who've shaped us, nurtured us, and walked us through life. It's a day to say thanks to all the moms. Moms with toddlers tearing through the house, and moms whose babies have moved away. Moms who are doing this all by themselves, and moms who loved child in need. Moms who have suffered unimaginable loss. And moms whose children are moms themselves. For all the times your love made things better, and the moments your wisdom made things clear. For the way you lived as an example, so we could see Jesus through you. For each and every memory that has lit the path we walk, we say thank you. Whether this is a day of celebration, reflection, or heartache, Know that you are loved. Happy Mother's Day.
Amen. Well, if you didn't already know, it is Mother's Day. So we just want to recognize, you don't have to stand up, moms. We just want to recognize all the moms that are here today. I heard a lot of Happy Mother's Day greetings on the way in. Make sure when you leave today, before you leave today, that you just greet a mom or two and let them know how special they are and valued by God, and that they are loved, that they are loved, of course, here at Trinity and by you and by our Heavenly Father. And so thank you to all the moms, and thank you for choosing to be with us today to worship the Lord. Just know how special you are and how honored you are. Moms, before you leave later today, make sure that you stop in the back and receive your special gift. We have a gift for you, and there'll be some very special people about this tall that will be handing them out into you. So make sure, ladies, that you stop and get one of those as well. I'd like to just offer up a prayer to all of our moms. And so if you would just close your eyes and bow your heads with me as we pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this special day on our calendar, God, where we can gather to worship you and to honor you, but also, Father, to honor our moms. And so we are deeply grateful and sincerely joyful for all of the moms that are here and all the mothers in our lives throughout the years who have loved us and cared for us, who have walked with us and taught us how to live well and how to follow you. We praise you for the wonderful love shown to us through our moms, and we pray for all those who are mothers, and that you would give them today strength in their weakness and wisdom when they are unsure. We pray that you would bless them with patience and peace as they navigate life's daily demands, and that you would grant them faith in your loving care for them and over their families. And we also pray that you would bless them with an inexhaustible love for those whom you have given them to nurture. May they continue to love their children with your unfailing and unending love. And Father, also, for those who may feel some sadness today, would you please bring help and healing where there may be some wounds, a softening heart where forgiveness might be difficult, and please bless them with hope when hope seems fleeting to find. But God, through it all, may we be thankful for the moms in our lives who have given so selflessly and sacrificially that we may know unconditional love, theirs and yours. Bless them today, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, moms, for being with us today. Just know how much you are loved and appreciated. Again, make sure that you greet a mom today, and moms, make sure you receive your gift on the way out. Just a few announcements. We call this Church Life, and this is just so we can be caught up in what's going on in the life of Trinity. Again, make sure you visit our website, trinityallenwood.com, and it's got all the events. It's got all past sermons and services on there. There's a lot of information on trinityallenwood.com, our website, about who we are, what we believe. There's a lot of resources about the gospel and about the discipleship pathway, and so you'll want to learn all about that. And so make sure that you check that out. Of course, we learn, grow, and serve together. But yes, today is Mother's Day, and it's a special day. It is very special. And as we continue in our series about telling your story, you know, if you're a mom, boy, that is a big part of your story, isn't it? It doesn't define you, but some days it might seem like it does, right? I remember my mom would often say, you know, especially when I was giving her a hard time, she'd say, you know what, I get up and I work, and then I go to work, and then I come home and I work, right? And so moms work hard, and we praise God for them. And so today is Mother's Day. But a few more things going on in the life of Trinity. Make sure that you check us out on a Wednesday night during our sermon series, which we're going through, about halfway through. We are having our Wednesday night workshops, and that's from 6:30 to 7:30, where we are working on, through our books, we're working on how to tell your story and then how to tell the story, the gospel, incorporate on that. And so in our workshops, we've been doing these exercises and practices that are in the back of the books that we have. If you didn't get one of our books at the beginning of our series, if you didn't get one, you can get one from the Connection Center. If you have one and left it at home, it's okay. You can pick up when you get home. But if you have not gotten one already, make sure you grab one of those. Because in the back of the chapters, you'll notice some questions and things to do for practice. And so on Wednesday nights, we're doing that together. What we're doing is we're going through the process of writing down our stories. We're sort of, you know, highlighting things that we remember, people, events, places, things that happened in our lives that formed who we are, putting them together in sort of an outline form. And we're going to look at more of that this morning and what that's like, because in our chapter for this morning, we're going to be seeing how we then incorporate that into telling our story. What it was like for us before we met Jesus, how we came to understand the gospel and believe, and then what difference has that made in our lives, and how we kind of walk through those three things and tell a bit of our story to tell others about Jesus in our lives. So we are doing that together on Wednesday nights. And so if you're interested, it's okay if you've missed the first couple. Come on out and join us as we work through it together as a group. Then, of course, after that at 7:30 is our prayer gathering. So we stay right there, anybody that can stay, and we pray. So that's Wednesday nights through our sermon series. This Saturday, you heard me mention this last week, but this Saturday, May 18th, is our annual spring cleanup day. So there's plenty of work to do inside. There'll be a little bit of outside work as well, but we have a lot of projects, big and small, that we could use to help clean up and spruce up the church. We kind of do that around our homes and spring cleaning, so we want to do that here in our church home. So if you can join us, it's from 8:30 to noon. If you want to have a little breakfast, bagels and coffee with us, you can come a little earlier, but we'll work from 8:30 to noon and try to get as much done as we can. So there'll be a list of projects, and there's stuff for everybody. So that is this coming Saturday, the 18th, all right? So keep that on your calendar, and hopefully you can join us at some point during the morning to help us clean up. Also, we've been talking about how on May 11th, well, that was yesterday, wasn't it? All right. So I'm just testing you. Well, then instead of announcing it, I can see who went and how did it go. Was it good? It was good. Praise the Lord. That's great. See, I'm just kind of, you know, checking on you. But I'm going to use this as an opportunity to say we support Jersey Shore Rescue Mission. And the Jersey Shore Rescue Mission is one of our ministry mission partners. And they're right here at the Jersey Shore at Asbury Park. And we do a lot with them. We have people in our church that work with them. And throughout the year, they have different events. Some we just promote. Some we actually go and help out with, like the coat drive, right? But this was a new one, and some people went, and it sounds like it was great. And it was just an opportunity to go to get a free meal. But when you do that, you can interact with other people. What a great time and place to practice sharing your story as you hear other stories. And so continue to look for events like this throughout the summer and throughout the year. But we partner closely with the Jersey Shore Rescue Mission, not just financially, but of course we pray for them and we send volunteers to help them as they bring help and hope to men in our area. So we praise God for that event. I know this hasn't happened yet, and so I mentioned this last week, starting today, and you saw the table set up out there. But every year we do this this event with the Open Door Pregnancy Center in Toms River. It's called the Baby Bottle Boomerang, and if you participated last year, you know what a blessing it was. But we simply have baby bottles out there that you can sign up to take one, and then from now, which is Mother's Day, until Father's Day, we ask that you just fill that up. You fill it up with loose change or money, checks, whatever it is you want to do. And then on Father's Day, you bring them back. We collect them and bring them down to the Open Door Pregnancy Center. All right? So you can see Angela or go on and stop at the table after service before you leave and sign up to take one of the bottles. And just help us to raise funds for this worthy ministry right here in our area. And speaking of Jersey Shore Rescue Mission, next Sunday, another way we support them is we will have Will Ward, who was a resident. He went through the program and now is on staff at the Rescue Mission. He's going to come and share testimony. So every once in a while throughout the year, we like to have people from our mission partners come and share what's going on. Recently, we had the Bakers come and share about what's going on in Ukraine. And so next Sunday, we will have Will Ward come and share about his story of faith and redemption. So again, as we continue to go through our series, telling your story and telling this story, what a great opportunity as you work through that to come and hear someone's testimony, you know, to see what God has done in their life, how they share it, and how that might help you and encourage you or maybe even challenge you to share your story. Now, speaking of testimonies and sharing stories, Claudia and I and Andrew and Elizabeth had the opportunity to go and help to support the Hoving Home. If you remember, a few weeks ago, we had the ladies of the Hoving Home come with their choir and share testimonies and share a blessing of music. It's one of the ministries that they have, and we have some connections with that ministry, and so we love to have them out at least once a year to sing and lead worship and to share testimonies. And so we went this Thursday to their annual fundraising banquet, and there was hundreds of people there. It was really well done. But there is a resident facility in New York and then one in New Jersey. And the Hoving Home, if you don't already know, is a residential program for women who are coming out of addiction or domestic violence. And it's a residency program. It's faith-based. They get Bible studies, and they go around with their choir to share their faith, and they learn how to tell their story, kind of like what we're doing. And so when we went on Thursday night to the banquet, it was really cool. What they did was they had the choir there, and all the women from the New York and New Jersey program, we were celebrating them. Some of them had just graduated from the program. Others are just starting. But what they did is they strategically had one woman sit at every table at the banquet. And during that time, they all got up at the same time, and they shared their testimony with the table, with the people around them. And the lady was, her name was Leanne, and she was fairly new to the program. She is a mom because they have part of their program is called the Lioness program for expecting moms, and they help them through the whole pregnancy, and then they stay a few months afterwards as well. And she shared her testimony, and it was great to hear her because she had a beginning, a middle, and an end. She talked about her life before Jesus, where she was, what was going on in her life. She talked very clearly about how she met Jesus and understood the gospel and believed, and she talked about what difference it made in her life. And it was great to hear, and you could tell, because it was the first time Leanne had ever done this, you could tell that she had to go through some training, and she talked about how in the program they have classes to learn how to tell their story. It's like what we're doing here at Trinity, right? And so she went through this, and it was wonderful. And she didn't just kind of recite her story, but she did it with great sincerity and humility, and a couple of times she was brought to tears just thinking about the people and events in her life as she recalled it. But as she moved from who she was before Jesus and how she come to meet him and then what difference he made in her life, it was very powerful. Her story was unique among all the other women there and everybody else sitting at the tables there to celebrate them. And it was so powerful, and it was a great reminder that our stories as well are powerful and have such a great impact. Maybe we haven't gone through similar experiences in life that many of these women at the Hoving Home program have, but that doesn't make our stories any less powerful or impactful, because the essence of each of our story is the miracle of salvation. If you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and him alone for the salvation of your sin, then, yes, that is the highlight of your story as you share how you came to know Jesus. And so Leanne's story was beautiful, and it was a story of redemption. And we'll hear again from Will Ward from the Rescue Mission next week about another powerful story of redemption. But consider these opportunities as a way for you to be encouraged as we learn what it's like to tell others about Jesus in our life, where we were before him and when and how we came to believe, and then tell others the difference he has made. And that biggest difference is hope, right? Because we have eternal life. We have the hope of life here and now, this side of heaven, and of course, life eternal with him. So if you have your books with you, if not, please make sure you take some notes. We have notebooks out in the Connection Center. You can write in your Bible, and when you go home and find your book, you can kind of get to the chapter. But we are on chapter 3, and again, I'm not reading through the book, but I'm highlighting some things to help us understand what it is that we're trying to do together, because this book is part of our discipleship pathway resource, and these are available for you too on our Connection Center. These have the pathway map in it, these stepping stones that each disciple of Jesus is to give attention to throughout their life. Because you remember, the pathway to being a disciple starts by believing in the Lord Jesus for salvation. And then the choice is yours. Do you want to be a follower of his and walk in his ways? And Jesus says, if you want to be my disciple, well, that's the hard work. He says, then you deny yourself. Every day you take up your cross and you follow me. We can only do that by the help of the Holy Spirit, right? But he also gives us each other as we learn and grow and serve together to walk in his ways. And so we are on chapter 3 now, and this chapter is about telling your story, because the first two chapters helped us walk through, kind of thinking through our lives, our story, and crafting that and honing that and putting it together in sort of an outline and an order that helps us to think through and to share it in a way that makes sense. And then this chapter is like, okay, let's get a good example from the Bible about a word of testimony, a powerful testimony that we can learn from, and then we're going to go and start practicing and sharing it with others. And we can share it with somebody that we know and are familiar with and say, I want to practice this, and have them give you some feedback and constructive criticism, and you can help to work on telling your story. But what we're going to do this morning, and it'll be up on the screen for you as well, but it's in the book, so you can read it from the book on page 35 and 36. I want to read to you the testimony of the Apostle Paul. Now, many of you remember parts of his story, but the Apostle Paul was a Christian killer. He was one who was well respected among the Jewish leaders. He was also sort of a lawyer and attorney by training. He knew the scriptures well. He was a leader among leaders of the Jewish leadership, and so well respected. And he was the guy that God got a hold of through Jesus Christ on what we call the road to Damascus. Remember that? His road to Damascus story. And that's what we're going to read about now, as he recounts that story and how he was blinded temporarily so that he could then actually see what Jesus wanted him to see. He heard his voice and received a direct call from Jesus and was convicted of his sin, and then his life changed forever. And of course, God, this is what God does, right? So we talk about redemption. He used this amazing passion, an intense, heartfelt passion that Paul had, right, against Jesus and the Christians, and he used it then for Jesus and believers. And so he's an amazing story to recount. And so I'd like you to listen now. You can read along or just listen as Paul shares his testimony. And as I do so, consider the framework that we all can use as we develop our story, as we develop telling our story. Listen in Paul's account of his faith testimony, what he was like, who he was before Jesus, how he encountered Jesus and came to believe, and then how his life was different after. Because Paul's testimony here in the book of Acts, chapter 22, has all three elements. So, I'd like to read that for you now. It is found, if you want to follow along in your Bible, it's found in Acts chapter 22, and it's verses 3 through 22. And I'm going to read it for us. Again, it's up on the screen. And now this is the Apostle Paul sharing his story. Consider how you might use some of these elements in this example in you telling yours. Paul says this, I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city, educated under Gamaliel, strictly according to the law of our fathers, being zealous for God just as you all are today. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and putting both men and women into prisons. As also the high priest and all the council of the elders can testify. From them I also received letters to the brethren and started off for Damascus in order to bring even those who were there to Jerusalem as prisoners to be punished. But it happened that as I was on my way, approaching Damascus about noontime, a very bright light suddenly flashed from heaven all around me. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, Who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus the Nazarene, whom you are persecuting. And so those who were with me saw the light to be sure, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, Get up and go into Damascus, and there you will be told of all that has been appointed for you to do. But since I could not see because of the brightness of that light, I was led by hand by those who were with me and come into Damascus. And a certain Ananias, a man who was devout by the standard of the law and well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me and standing near said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very time I looked up at him and he said, The God of our fathers has appointed you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear an utterance from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to all men of what you have seen and heard. Now, why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. It happened when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple that I fell into a trance, and I saw him saying to me, Make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, because they will not accept your testimony about me. And I said, Lord, they themselves understand that in one synagogue after another, I used to imprison and beat those who believed in you. And when the blood of your witness Stephen was being shed, I also was standing by, approving and watching out for the coats of those who were slaying him. And he said to me, Go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. They listened to him up to this statement. And then they raised their voices and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he should not be allowed to live. Wow. That is Paul telling his story. Now, if you notice at the end, it ended kind of abruptly, didn't it? Paul was telling his story to this crowd, and they were a hostile crowd to be sure, but they were so enthralled by what he was saying about who he was. They loved that part. They knew who he was and who taught him and his credentials. And then he says, but as it happened, right, he was walking along, and he gets to that part of his story where he met Jesus and came to understand and literally was blinded so he could see the truth. And he heard from Jesus himself, and then he goes on to tell what he was called to do, the difference it made in his life. But you notice at the end it said they stopped him right there. They didn't like that part. They didn't like that, so they stopped him right there. Did you ever share your story with somebody? Maybe you're telling them about Jesus, and somehow they just stop you in mid-sentence. They don't like what it is that you have to say. Jesus said that would happen. And Paul was warned about that as well. But you see, we can relate because Paul was in a bit of a hostile environment. But what is he doing? He's just telling them a simple story. It was his story. He's telling them about who he was before Jesus. Then he shares with them that amazing experience of meeting Jesus on the road. He's saying what he was going to do. And then Jesus got a hold of him. But then what difference did it make? Well, then he said, Paul, and then he used Ananias in his life, and he said, you need to go here and get some training and spend some time learning because God has a plan for your life, and he wants to have you follow his will. See, before that, Paul was following his own will. He thought it was God's will, but he was following his own will. And so now God says, you're going to hear from me, and I want you to do my will and my work. But you have to do it my way. See, that's important for all of us too. I mean, as believers, we say, yes, we want God's will, not our will. We want to hear from God. But then what? We want to kind of do it our own way, don't we? Right? Yes, thank you, God, for that word and that amazing calling. I got it from here. I'll do it my way. But see, God wouldn't have any of that with Paul. So he certainly got his attention. Did you ever kind of think, God, I just want you to kind of treat me like Paul. Just strike me down, blind me, tell me your word audibly, and get up and send me and give me all the power. I'll do that. But we all have an individual story to tell, and God gets a hold of our hearts in different ways. Sometimes we need to be brought to the end of ourselves, to be so desperate that all we can do is call on him. And other times, maybe we've been raised in a Christian home, and God has put this blessing over us, and it's this easy transition into life and to ministry, whatever that looks like in your context. And sometimes that is the way it works. It's not without its trials, but we all have a different kind of path leading up to that. But yet each of us has an impactful and important story to tell, and this is Paul's. And so look at just how it is that he shares these elements of his story, right? So what was he, and what did he look like before he met Jesus? And again, we're thinking through how we can tell other people about ourselves, leading up to telling them about Jesus, right? That's the whole point. So he starts with saying a little bit about his background. He's a Jew. He says where he was born. Why is it important? Well, I think the people that were listening would want to know his credentials. That meant a lot, right? It meant a lot back then. Like, what kind of credibility did he have? You want to put it in some kind of context, right? If you're just meeting somebody on the street or, you know, you're just meeting somebody at work for the first time, like, you can't just jump right in like they expect them to know your whole background. Share with them a little bit of context. So Paul says, I'm a Jew. I was born in Tarsus of Cilicia. I was brought up in this city. I was educated under Gamaliel. That would have meant a lot to them, right? His sort of background and education. He was zealous for God. He persecuted. Then he talks about what he was doing. He was persecuting Jesus' followers called the Way. He says, I was on my way on the road to Damascus. I had these letters with me. I was going to go persecute even more Christians. And then he makes this transition. See, this is one of the advantages of working through our story, writing it down, right? Maybe you think, I don't need to do that. I know my own story. I have to write it down. But see, this can be very helpful so that we never know when God's going to bring an opportunity this way, right? We'd be less nervous and fearful, and we kind of have a plan and an idea to work through. We have transitions as well. So then, after he gives his background, what does he say? He says, but it happened that one day, I was on my way, approaching Damascus. So now all of a sudden, we're learning about one particular day, an event in his life. And he says what happened. I'm sure there was a lot that happened, but he just gives us the highlights. A bright light suddenly flashed from heaven all around me. I fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? See, now we're getting into it. So if you're telling somebody your story, you get to that point about how you met Jesus, they're going to be listening. They're going to have a little bit of a background, but see, now they're going to be so engaged in what it is you're telling them. They didn't expect Paul to be saying, all of a sudden I was struck blind by a light and I met Jesus the Lord. Like, they weren't expecting that at all. And he goes on to say what Jesus told him. And he addressed him. He had this conversation. And he asked for direction, what he should do. He was then, because he was blinded, led by somebody out to the city. And then he ends by saying, it happened when I returned to Jerusalem. See, now he's getting to the end. This is a difference it made. I was praying. Jesus talked to me, told me what to do. So I'm summarizing, right? And he kind of even says, Lord, you know, when I go there, they're going to know that I used to persecute your people. He says, don't worry, I've got a plan for you. I'm sending you to the Gentiles. See, he got his directions from God. How does God do that in your life, church? Do you spend enough time listening to God as opposed to just telling him the things that you need? Do you listen to hear that still small voice? Are you in his word, discerning his will? I mean, we can often struggle with, God, what do you want me to do with my life? Well, if we open the pages of Scripture, God has given us enough for a lifetime in here to tell us what it is he requires of us and what he would love for us to be doing, right? That we are to be helping others, to be his hands and feet, that we are to be praying for others, that we are to be serving in the church, that we are to be learning how to be generous people, that we are to be gracious and to take grace to our world. God gives us so much in here. If you're trying to discern what that is, that God's will for your life, realize that God doesn't always use an experience so dramatically and intensely as he did with the Apostle Paul, but he will get your attention, won't he? Stay in his word. Spend time with him in your devotions and meditating on his word and praying and asking God to reveal his will for your life. But as you search the scriptures, it will also become clearer and clearer that God has a plan for all of us as believers. That ultimate plan, no matter what, is to bring glory to him, to enjoy salvation, and to glorify God with all that he's given you and all that you are. We can spend a lifetime doing just that. You say, yeah, Pastor, but I want to be known for this and that. I want to have a great impact. I want to influence a lot of people. Well, you know what? Bring that to the Lord, and maybe he will use you for that if he's putting that burden on your heart. But until he answers that prayer the way he wants to, are you just bringing him glory in the life and in the context that he's given you? Are you loving the people around you with the love that Jesus has shown you? Today's Mother's Day. Are you thanking your mom? Are you remembering her if she's no longer with you? Are you celebrating her life and her legacy? That's one way that we can give thanks to God and to bring him glory. But recognize that God has a plan for us. His plan is to serve him and honor him and worship him forever. And part of doing that is to tell others about Jesus. You remember, like, the last commission that Jesus gave to his disciples, right? Right before he went back to heaven. And what did he say? He says, I want you now to do this. Until I come back for you, I want you to go into the whole world, to all nations, and make disciples. Baptize them and teach them all that I have commanded you to do. And then he says, but you know what? Don't worry, because I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. So it tells us, we work backwards from that, that there's going to be an end to this age when Jesus comes back. But he gave us, right, his directive, his mission. He said, until I come back for you, be looking for that, waiting for that with great expectation. But until then, I have a job for you to do. Be the church. Go out and make disciples. Tell them. You can't be a disciple unless you believe in Jesus. So part of making disciples is to tell them about salvation in Jesus and him alone. Sharing the gospel. That's what we're going to get into next week, is how do we incorporate the gospel message into our story? We tell people about who we were before Jesus and how we met Jesus and came to understand salvation and then what difference does it make. How do we put that gospel right in there What are the essential elements of the gospel? Do we have to believe that Jesus probably had long hair and a beard in order to be saved? What is it we have to believe about Jesus? His death on the cross, his resurrection from the grave? What do we say when we tell people that have not yet believed in Jesus? What do we say to them about the gospel? What is the essential gospel of Jesus Christ? And how do we tell it to people in a very clear and concise way? So that will be an important message next week. Make sure you're here for that. If you can't be, make sure you go back and watch. It'll be one of the most important times together, one of the important messages from the Word as we incorporate the gospel story into our stories. But for today, we conclude with this. If you're looking at your books, you can turn to page 40. If you don't have your book, it's okay. Here's what it says. After we've heard this account of the Apostle Paul's powerful testimony on the road to Damascus, and he shares how his life has been changed, now he's called to be a missionary to the Gentiles. And Jesus gave him his directive and said he'll be with him to give him the power to do it, because he can't do it in his own power. We say, yes, but what about my fear and anxiety? I don't like to talk in front of people. I'm afraid that perhaps they'll ask me a question that I won't have an answer to. Do some of these things sound familiar to you? Well, I'm not really a good speaker. I can't do this. That's what the pastor does. You know, I'm really an introvert. You know, there's like evangelists out there, so that's not really my calling. This kind of stuff is for other people. Well, see, it really isn't my gift. You know, I have no role to play in this. My story's not so good. It's not like a big enough story, or it's not interesting enough, or even maybe clean enough. I've been through a lot of stuff. I've had some amazing experiences that I don't want anybody to know about. You know, I still struggle with sin every day, and I can't share my story of faith in Jesus as a sinner. You know, people aren't going to listen to me. They don't want to hear my story. I don't really know any kind of theology. I haven't read the Bible a lot. What if they ask me a question? I don't even know how to answer them. I'm not really prepared to do this. I need to probably go get some training. I can't really talk about Jesus until then. Like, these are all statements and others that probably reflect something that you have encountered or still struggle with in sharing your faith. Just think about it. What is it that stops us from telling people we meet about Jesus in our life? Are we ashamed of the gospel? We say, no, we're not ashamed of the gospel. Why don't we share it? Are we fearful that people are going to make fun of us? Maybe that's happened before. Maybe you're afraid your family will disown you. So they say, no, you have to follow the ways of this family. Perhaps you're afraid maybe you'll lose your job or you'll lose some friends. Whatever it is, recognize that, yes, those are real. We don't dismiss them. That's why kind of working through it, writing it down, creating an outline can be helpful in those situations, because we never know when God's going to put somebody in front of us and put it on our heart through the Spirit to tell them about Jesus. We want to be as prepared as possible. The book kind of ends this way with this chapter. It says, yes, you may still struggle with sin, and you don't have to be perfect to talk to others about God. You might not have all the answers, but yet, everyone we meet is yearning for hope and grace. Remember that. Everybody wants to know what you know about Jesus, whether they realize it or not. Most people are just searching, searching for hope and grace very badly. I love that. Everybody's searching for hope and grace. They just might be doing it in a very unhealthy and just even destructive way. People want to hear a message of life, and ultimately, they will listen. Church, that is true. Think about what you were like before you met Jesus and what it took for you to respond to that call. You see, the beauty of the gospel, again, we'll hear so much more about this next week, but the beauty and the power of the gospel is in its simplicity. That the Bible tells us over and over again that there's only one condition for being saved. There's only one thing, not even thing we have to do, but one way to be saved, and that is to believe. We don't have to do a series of good works. We don't have to pray a special prayer, come up front and kneel at the altar in a church. We don't have to say a special prayer or do a certain amount of good things, help certain people. There's no laws that we have to, like, just do in order to get saved and spend eternity with God. See, Jesus did all of that for us, right? Jesus did all that for us. That's what grace is. Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is a gift that is offered to us that all we have to do is reach out and receive. That's the gospel. That Jesus said he was going to die on the cross and come back to life for the forgiveness of our sin. Jesus said that he would pay a debt that he didn't know because we owed a debt that we could not pay. Jesus said he would do that for us. That's why God sent him. Because only God could pay that penalty of sin. There needs to be blood shed, and that's why Jesus had to live and die on the cross on our behalf. But see, the simple gospel is that Jesus did all that was required, and it's offered to us to believe. Do we believe that Jesus is who he says he is, God himself, the Savior? And that he did what he said he was going to come to do, and die on the cross and come back to life. And if we simply put our faith and trust in him, and him alone, that he did that, and he did that for us, the Bible says you are saved, and that you are spending eternity in heaven with God. Right? That's the simple gospel. There's different ways that you can share that, but next week we'll talk about what are those key elements to include. But we have to include that in our story because everybody we meet is searching for hope and help and peace in life. They might just be searching for it in all the wrong ways. Like that old song that I know is in your head now, right? Searching for love, all the wrong places, all the wrong ways. Everybody wants to be loved, right? And to share love. We have a story of love to tell, don't we? About how the Savior loved us. And every one of us has a different story to tell. But each and every one of us will all talk about Jesus. Because it's one Jesus, one gospel, one truth, and one true love. Amen? So don't fear it. Work through it. Grab one of the books if you didn't get it. Work on it at home. Come to the Wednesday night workshop. As we continue to be disciples and walk down this pathway of discipleship together, boy, this is an important part of that. And we never stop learning it. We never stop doing it. But it's something that every follower of Jesus needs to give attention to. How do we tell our story and tell others the story of Jesus? Why don't you stand with me as we pray? Father God, thank you for our time together this morning. Would you embolden us? Would you encourage us? Would you challenge us to tell someone about Jesus this week? We pray for that divine appointment and opportunity to do so. God, help us to hone these stories, to craft them together so we feel more confident and prepared when we do. We ultimately know, God, that it's you through your Holy Spirit that will be saying the words and working through us. God, we just want to make ourselves available. God, thank you for our time together this morning, powerful worship, hearing from your word. Thank you for the testimony of faith and redemption of the Apostle Paul. May we use that as a great template and framework for our own story. And God, thank you for each and every mom that is here today. As we celebrate life, we thank you for the life you have given them. Bless them, Lord God. Let them know that they are loved. And Father, encourage all of us as we leave this place, God, that we are in this together and that you are with us. Thank you, Father. We pray in the name of Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, for the glory of the Father. Amen and amen. Thanks for joining us today, moms. We celebrate you. Make sure you get one of your gifts on the way out. Thank you for being with us.